we're live.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 26 of Beyond Retro. I'm Tyler Baker. Nathan Kennedy is here with us. Joe Amato is lost in a big Easter egg hunt, so he will not be joining us for this edition here, but he's interested in what we're talking about, so I'm sure he'll be back or will be on when we revisit this particular subject. And if you don't know or you are aware of what we're talking about, I'm just going to go ahead and announce it here on the show here. We'll be discussing Batman the Animated Series. Mainly focusing on a commentary, but doing, you know, our thoughts on the show and when we first got introduced to it. We probably won't talk about as much about it in great length as we got the commentary to do, and that's what we would hope to do is when we revisit the show, we'll do more commentaries because of me and Nathan had talked about privately. Like, I gave him like 3 or 4 episodes, like, because I'd love to do commentaries for so many of this particular show, as well as other superhero cartoon shows, like, the Spider-Man series of the 80s, like The Amazing Spider-Man, the Spider-Man solo show, and hell, even the Batman 60s series would be awesome to do commentaries for, man. I mean, it's
watching that episode, because the episode we're going to do the commentary on, I revisited it to be fresh in my mind, but I've been watching the Justice League cartoon, and I'm sitting there, and, you know, the Batman animated series came out in the early 90s. Justice League was, you know, early to mid 2000s. And I'm like, they tell all these great stories throughout the entire run of the series. And yet when it comes to the movies, they don't know what to do. I'm like, it just grab one of these stories from the show and do it. Like, how can you fuck it up that bad? Because I did watch Justice League last Saturday, right before the power went out. And while it's better than Man of Steel, and it's better than Batman v Superman, but that is not really saying that much. That the production had is like, what, a $300 million budget? And the CG in that, it just looks like a cutscene in a video game. I'm like, you spent this much money on it, and that's what you have to show for it.
Yeah, just from the trailers alone, that's as far as I went with Batman versus Superman and Justice. Like, I watched the trailers, I'm like, no, I'm not interested in that. That looks like shit. It just, the effects look bad. Like Nathan said, it looks like something, an animated scene from a video game. I was like, I'm not interested in that. And I'd always felt too, and I know I'm not the only one who thought that adapting the look of the animated series would make for one kick-ass movie of setting Batman and Gotham in a film noir setting, almost, you know, where you got the gangsters and the villains look. I mean, well, you got like Joker and Two-Face acting as if like gangsters of like the 1930s and 40s, you know, where they were wearing hats and carrying machine guns with gangs, and the police cars look like those old fashioned police cars. And it just, God, it's for a children's show, you know, it's got such an atmosphere to it from the look of it. When it's nighttime, it's very dark and gritty looking, but not so much where parents walk in and think that you're watching something that's meant for adults and not children. But the show just continues to age like fine wine. It really does. It doesn't age. There are bomb episodes like in every cartoon series, but it's arguably the greatest superhero cartoon that's ever been done.
Yeah, it really is, and it's amazing to me that they haven't managed, other than the animated movies that they've done, that they haven't been able to make that transition to live action, because there's so many good stories there. I just really don't know why they just don't adapt from it. Are they worried of the fan backlash? Like, oh, you stole from this. Like, I don't see why that would matter that much. But Jake Juggalo's in the chat, and he says happy Easter to the both of us. So happy Easter to you, Jake Juggalo.
Thanks for joining us there. We'll try to make this as enjoyable as possible there for you and for anybody else listening well after this recording. But not just this episode, but there's so many episodes that just feature, you know, one villain, hell, even two villains. You know, why is it the animated series, we won't count comic books, because comic books get it right a lot of the time anyway and may come up with reasons to make it work. But the animated series can bring in 2, 3, in terms of today's episode, multiple villains. And you feel like everybody, at least aside from like the Riddler and the Scarecrow, who are shown but don't get used a whole lot, are given moments throughout this episode to shine. And it doesn't feel like it's a giant congested episode, given that it does take place in Arkham. If you don't know, we're going to do a commentary for Trial today from season three. And why is it movies, when they incorporate not just DC but Marvel films, they always have the worst time trying to incorporate a team up, which is people. I still to this day, I get giddy when I see team ups in cartoons and comic books. It's always exciting me to see it in films. It would be the ultimate, and there have been moments like Batman Returns, I think, did a very good job, regardless of what people say about that film. Batman Forever could have been good, and Batman and Robin could have been good too, but it's just they can't seem to quite figure it out. Why?
I don't think Joel Schumacher would have let those movies be good. I figured, like, even because, all right, Batman Forever is it's fine. It's not, but you could see it, and I'm assuming that that did so well that, like, obviously they're gonna make that sequel. I guess Schumacher may have had like gotten a little more power, which is why that turned out the way that it did.
If
I
Batman
don't know.
Forever success that it was, then no, they wouldn't have given him such free rein, and also making using Batman and Robin as a way of marketing Mattel's latest batch of movie toys featuring Batgirl, Mr. Freeze, Poison Ivy, and so on and so forth. But at least the guy has owned up, and it was pretty cool.
Nope, you kind of.
Is the consultant.
There you go. You kind of froze up on my end.
Okay. But I saw this great April Fool's joke saying that Joel Schumacher had been brought in as a senior consultant on the next solo Batman film, and they were given a reason for it. And I'm like, well, I was like, at least he probably was like, wait a second, today's April Fool's. And I start looking at the comments, and everyone's like, oh, it's April. I was like, okay, that's cool. That was fine. But at least Joel Schumacher has apologized publicly for it. So that's why I forgive him for Batman and Robin. I forgive him for the silliness of Batman Forever, even though it had some good moments in it. But I still don't know why Hollywood hasn't been able to figure out a great. I mean, hell, even with Nolan's Batman films, where you've got the Joker and Two-Face, they don't really team up. And then you've got Catwoman and Bane and Dark Knight Rises, they're still not a legitimate team up. And I still don't feel like, well, Bane was screwed up. I didn't like Catwoman. And Two-Face, I thought was great at the time, but now I think he's just a big whiner and a complainer, not the Two-Face that you would see in today's episode. Just this
Rachel,
hardcore.
Rachel.
Oh God, man, what was I thinking that was a cool character? God, man, that's such a pussy Two-Face.
Yeah. Oh, we got SSJ Mitts and Tamara Shipper in the chat as well. So hello to you guys. Thanks for joining us. Back to the animated series though, like, because I hung with it for a little bit, like from when it first came out, and then probably about I would say halfway into season two, and then. For me, I kind of reached the point where, like, and Joe and I talked about this in our video game episode, that I got just really obsessed with sports. So, I went from being super into watching Batman animated series like Ninja Turtles and everything, and I just sort of like gradually lost interest. Was the animated series something that you stuck with through its entire run?
A great deal of it. Because Spider-Man had come on not too, about a year, maybe a couple of years. I don't have it specifically around that time, and I was a big Spider-Man nut as well. But I stuck with Batman for the first two seasons, and then I would come back to it periodically in the third season, because I remember when my friend Matt Hilton told me that Bane was going to be showing up, I had to watch that episode because Nightfall had been going on. So that was a big deal to make sure I saw that. So I didn't get to see as much of season three, and then they went and did the kind of reboot where they redesigned everybody and gave Batman a different outfit, different color scheme. I was turned off by that. I tried to watch it and I hated it because I hated the look, but God, it looks great now. I appreciate it so much more when I got into high school. Like, man, this is a really great redesign. I love the episodes. The quality's still there. They just changed and tweaked things a bit, and I love it a lot now. But I didn't stick with it for the last bit. I did dabble a little bit in the Superman show a little bit and watch some Batman here and there. But I was always more inclined to watching the first 3 seasons of Batman because where Batman's got the yellow and black logo, the blue and black gray outfit, I was just inclined to watch that. The Joker's got the full makeup on there, whereas like the reboot, he's got no makeup at all, just the white face. So anytime I would see that the show was on, I'd wait and see what kind of episode it was. If it was the reboot, I'd turn it off. If it was the original stuff, I'd watch it.
Yeah, I
It's
could see you now, like the newer the reboot episodes come on. You're just like, horse shit, and then you just turn the TV off.
That's how I felt. I hated it, but God, I love it now. I mean, I watch it a lot. That those re well not the redesigned episode, I guess, which one.
Wasn't it called like the New Adventures of Batman and Robin?
New Adventures of Batman and Robin. And it also coincided with the Superman show too, because they did the world's finest animated movie as well, which is quite good too. And that was a great way of doing Batman versus Superman, where they meet for the first time because Batman comes to Gotham and is crashing down into this nightclub, and he gets his mob boss, and Superman shows up, and they get into it. That's how you introduce Batman and Superman. I just they got so many things right. You had a lot of creative writers with Bruce Timm and Paul Dini and Alan Burnett. Who worked on the show too? Guys who worked on Tiny Toons and stuff like that, or that was Bruce Timm, I think. But it's almost feels like we could devote a full episode of what this show got right, from giving Mr. Freeze new life with the new backstory that everybody, anytime you think Mr. Freeze, they think the canon that came out of this show. Harley Quinn came out of this show. Scarecrow was done very, very well in the show. Two-Face, to me, this is always going to be my definitive Two-Face outside of anything I ever saw in the comic books. Joker is this one next to Jack Nicholson. I will even put Heath Ledger in third place over that one, because Mark Hamill's portrayal of the Joker is just, God, it could be argued being the best, but Jack Nicholson will always be my number one Joker. But Mark Hamill's Joker was just, and it's just phenomenal. So every villain they did in this show got right, from the Mad Hatter with Roddy McDowall playing him, Killer Croc. I'd never seen Killer Croc before prior to seeing this show, so it introduced me to a lot of stuff.
Well, that's going to be the beauty of what we're doing here, because the idea behind this is I think what we're going to occasionally do is revisit this show, do a commentary for an episode. It would be a good way to just continue to talk about it, because there is so much about this show that is done so well that how can we just sit here, talk about it for half hour, watch an episode, and be done with it? So it's definitely going to be a subject that we're going to continue to come back to. I want to say hello to JSP in the chat. He says that he saw Mask of the Phantasm in the theater. That was the first time that he saw it. So I didn't see that movie in theaters. I'm imagining that you did, though.
I didn't, but it's not like I didn't want to, because I didn't. It's still at that time where I wasn't quite sure when movies came out, but even though I knew when Batman and Batman Returns was coming out and Willow and stuff like that, my parents would take us. But Mask of the Phantasm, I remember seeing ads for it on TV. I like to see it, but like so many movies I see on TV, just never got around to it. And then I rented it on VHS and I hated it. I thought it was boring as hell, because it was more adult in content. Like, it was more storytelling and not Batman beating the hell out of the. I'm like, where's the Joker? Where's the Joker at? And finding out the Phantasm was a girl. It was Andrea Beaumont as a kid. Me and my brother both thought it was like, man, it's a girl. I want Batman fighting a girl, But as an adult, you appreciate that a hell of a lot more. So this could be argued as the best Batman film as well, because the origin story and tying the Joker in and everything, it's great. It's phenomenal. It's a flawless film. So, I mean, well, I'm sure we'll talk about that at one point. Batman Beyond, the wide variety of great episodes from Almost Gotham to, I'm just trying to name off, the Joker's Favor, Bane, God, I'm drawing a blank here. Two-Face, both part one and two. I mean, there's just so many episodes
Yeah,
that.
there's a rich history of episodes we got to get through. And also like the Justice League. Like I would like to do some Justice League Unlimited, because there's so many
Oh
good
God,
episodes on that show too.
Unlimited, man. I mean, that's a God. I remember watching that first episode with that where they really focused on Green Arrow in that first episode for Unlimited. I'm like, God, man, Green Arrow's a badass, man. I just fell in love with that show instantly. And season two with the Legion of Doom. showing up with Gorilla Grodd and the classic hideout, and everything, and Lex Luthor, and like, oh man, look at all these villains together. Black Manta and Gigant. Oh, this is great. Toy Man. So
Yeah.
it's great. We got a lot to get to, man. And even if we have to set aside a time just to do a commentary and then do the regular show, or just make sure we're just constantly coming back at least once a month to do a commentary. I just feel
Yeah,
like that's
we gotta figure something out, even if it's like it's a Beyond Retro episode. I don't know. We need maybe a sub name with it. I don't know. That's just a thing that we're gonna have to figure out, I guess.
I feel like commentary is, not just with Batman, but with Justice League, Spider-Man. I'm looking at trying to what else. I mean, Batman Beyond be another one, or any like G.I. Joe doing commentaries for the G.I. Joe cartoon. I mean, God, there's so many things we could do. But for just like Spectacular Spider-Man, that's another classic show that, it's not necessarily vintage, but it's one of the.
It's kind of some of those shows are surprising, like Spectacular Spider-Man. I remember you telling me it's like, oh, you got to watch this, you got to watch it. And I was just like, man, like cartoons kind of just suck now. It was the same thing with the new Ninja Turtles. Like I wasn't completely sold on that either. And you're just like, oh, you got to check it out, you got to watch it. And I watched it. I'm like, oh, they're actually treating it with respect. And
Yeah.
then you see the trailer for that new one, and you're just like, oh my God, they threw it all out the fucking window. But
Yeah.
that's a subject for another day.
Well, Turtles will show up at some point, from the movie to the cartoon and everything else. So we will get around to doing that as well. But I guess, should
Well,
we just.
JSP asked here, he's like, did you guys check out any of the Mondo prints for Batman
Yes.
animated series?
Yes, I have seen some of those. And God, man, they look fantastic. Oh, man, I want every one of them.
Yep, but is Mondo still doing that thing now where like you when you have to be there right when they go on sale, and even then you're not guaranteed to get a print, and within 5 minutes they're all gone, and the
The
people
condition
that
didn't even bother.
yeah.
Just because you would tell me, hey, did you see this? I would check it out. Oh, sold out. Or when I would say, oh, sold out. It was just, I can't monitor the internet 24/7. I have a job and things I got to do. And I'm like, I just will just copy and save the artwork and make it my Facebook banner at some point, because that's about as far as I'm going to get to actually owning a copy.
Oh, I mean, you could go and buy one on eBay from the scalpers that are charging triple the price, that are the same ones that, because I remember one time, I think I was on Mondo's Facebook page or something. I made a comment and I was like, why don't you guys just make these widely available? Like, why would you not want it? And people are like, oh, but it's limited edition and you gotta just be there. I'm like, well, like you said, I can't be around the internet all the time. Can't just sit there and wait on my phone while I'm at work or something like that. And they're the same ones that bought like five of them, and all of them are on eBay. And I'm like I would actually want one. I'm not looking to go on there and scalp it and sell it. So I wish that places like Mondo, and even some, there's a few others that have popped up. They need to make them. Maybe reprint them at some point, something like
I
give
don't
the people something.
I'd like to have access to be able to put the trial poster or the lineup poster, like the mugshot poster or anything I can get my hands on, just so I could have something. I mean, when they did that Mondo Ninja Turtles poster from the 1990 film, God, that looked phenomenal. It was sold out in seconds.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I'll just copy and save it. Maybe I get to use it on social media someday.
It's bullshit. Like,
It's bullshit. I'm not a fan of it, but man, they make beautiful artwork. But I like what is it's almost like you have an exclusive restaurant, but you have an unlisted phone number. There's no signs on the door outside, and you got guards on top of the building trying to shoot people so they can't get in. You're trying to make it that exclusive, Why?
it shuts a lot of people out, and
And then.
there's a company, Limited Games, and they take they've done stuff like I managed to snag a copy of Night Trap, the game that was infamous back in the early 90s for the rating system coming like that in Mortal Kombat. And they take digital games that haven't had a physical release, and they come out with a physical release, and they got two windows. They do one at 10 a.m. and then they do another at like 5 p.m. and the website like always breaks for a lot of people, and you just it's constant bitching. I'm like, if there's that many people, like I understand supply demand, like you make people wanting it more, but it just seems like a terrible business model to me. Like if you're shutting all these people out and these people then have to go and spend triple the amount if they really, really want it on eBay, like what's the point?
Yeah, even if you're doing a second, third, and fourth print, I mean, comic book, retailers used to do it all the time. You'd sell the first print, you'd run out, okay, we'll do a second printing. It's not the original first print, but if they want it bad enough, it's not going to matter. And for guys like me and Nathan, I don't care if it's an original print. I'm not getting it to sell it with a certificate of authenticity. This was one of 100 printed, okay? I was like, I don't care. I just wanted to put it on display,
Yeah. I mean, seeing that poster behind you, I'm just like, damn, I need to track down.
That's a double-sided poster. That's an original Phantasm poster too, by
Of
the
course it is.
Yeah, I've even got Return of the Joker as well. Batman Beyond Return of the Joker. I'll have to put that on display when we discuss that at some point. But yeah, it's a phenomenal series, man. I can't wait to dig deep into this. I can't wait for us to discuss Mr. Freeze and Heart of Ice, Catwoman. I mean, what was so cool is like when this show came out, it was right after Batman Returns had come out, and Penguin and Catwoman both resemble Danny DeVito and Michelle Pfeiffer. Like, oh man, this is so cool. It looks just like the movie, and which was intentional and everything, of course, but it could not have come at a better time, especially when Batman and Batman Returns have come out and been the juggernauts they were. It's the perfect time to release an all new Batman animated show that took itself seriously and was done by people who loved Batman and didn't want to make it a caricature or something silly. And at least fortunately from this show, it was a long time before Batman was done silly again. And I never did watch Batman Brave and the Bold. I know it had a lot of fans. People thought it was funny and stuff, but I'm sorry, I like my superhero stuff relatively serious. I don't mind jokes here and there, something lighthearted, but the core of it has got to be a serious tone, and that's why I'll watch Batman, Justice League, some Superman, and I'll ignore everything else because
I
I
mean,
just
it makes sense. Like some of those shows, like when they first did Teen Titans, it had a little bit of that in there, and it was fine. And now, they have Teen Titans Go, and I haven't sat and watched it and given it a chance, but it does look like it is a, like way more sillier
Yeah,
than.
and that was a popular show. My brother loved it a lot, but I'm like, I'm not watching it. It looks silly and campy as hell. Plus, I didn't like that roster of characters. I want Batman. I want Superman. I like Robin, and I like Nightwing. But I just the Teen Titans group, I've never been a fan of. And I just thought the idea of Robin and Cyborg on the couch playing video games and their mouths getting really wide when they're yelling at each other, I'm like, this is goofy as hell, man. I don't watch superheroes to laugh. If I want to do that, I will watch The Tick. I want my DC Marvel stuff to be relatively serious. It's unless you're watching Deadpool or Spider-Man, I shouldn't be hearing jokes and one-liners a whole lot. It should be, content taken, at least to some extent, with a little bit of respect.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. That makes sense. JSP asked if there's any autographs on that poster. I can tell you that there's not.
No, unfortunately, no, and it's a shame because Kevin Conroy is going to be coming to Raleigh in July at their convention, but I don't know. I'll make it to that one, but I hope someday that Kevin Conroy will come to a convention, really, like in Charlotte or something. I get his autograph.
This Raleigh convention, was this the one that you were telling me about when we were on our drive back from Mad Monster?
Yeah.
Was Kevin Conroy announced for that at the time, or is this new information?
This was new, yeah. And then
I don't
there's,
know, man. We might have to make a trip down there. We might have to put an autograph on that poster.
well, believe me, the thought has crossed my mind. Then there's a convention in Charlotte of comic books where Mark Bagley, who designed Carnage and did a lot of the real popular Spider-Man stuff of the 90s, he's going to be in Charlotte. And I missed the opportunity to go meet him last year. I'm like, so that's another one I'm looking to try and go just to go meet him. But yeah, Kevin Conroy is somebody I would very much love to have on that poster there.
Yeah, another show that we forgot to mention that JSP brought up was Young Justice. I've actually watched the first season of that, and I did enjoy that one quite a bit.
Heard some good stuff about that one too. I just don't have I don't keep cable on, so I don't watch any of the new stuff. Is it on Netflix? Young Justice.
I want to say at one point that it was. I don't know if it's still on there. I got a couple of the DVDs when they first came out.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I've heard good things about that too. I mean, if as long as the presentation looks serious, I'll give it a chance. And then if the content sucks, like Ultimate Spider-Man, where the animation looked great but the show sucked balls, I'm not going to watch it. But at least you won't draw me in with crummy animation. Of course, if I didn't love Turtles so much, I probably wouldn't have given the more recent one a chance, and it was great. And of course, Nickelodeon took that all down and flushed it down the toilet with
Yeah, I go, God, what the fuck
soft
are
serve.
they doing with that? Like it, I watched that trailer and all right, the voices are kind of okay. You know, it sort of matches. It's sort of like it's sort of there. You can see it, but the animation's bad and it's like we'll address the elephant in the room. I'm like, all right. You made April black and I'm like, okay, fine, whatever, but why is it just that move to just be like, hey, look at this, like just to get that praise? Like was anyone just like, hey, why is April still white? Like I don't understand. It just doesn't make sense to me. I
Yeah, it's not like it's a case of we're casting an actor like Billy Dee Williams to play Harvey Dent Two-Face. You're casting him because he's a good actor, that he's like you. We could buy him as a cigar chomping district attorney who's scarred and has it out for Batman and Gotham because this is a good actor. We're not doing it to pander to the masses and say, oh, look what we're doing. We're casting a black man in a white man role. We're doing such a great deed for society. It feels like.
I feel like it's less of that and more of like if we do this, then it can make headlines in the news and draw more attention.
What? Why? They're changing something that's been the same. And I mean, I'm sorry. Was that a common complaint amongst ethnicities or even white people in general? Why aren't more, more, we need more ethnicities? Why, as if, well, Shredder is Asian, and Hamato Yoshi was essentially Asian as well. I guess she, yeah. I'm like, I just don't see the, like when I watch Blade, I'm like, I can't relate to this because Blade's not white.
Yeah, no, I it just
It's like I went and saw it three times in theaters. Like, Dad, I just can't get into this man. He's not white. I can't get behind this. It's just nonsense.
yeah, I who knows, but
Just
that new turtle show looks like fucking garbage.
yeah, and Raph with his little snaggle tooth and doesn't have size anymore because that's dangerous. So it's almost as if like the old school, censorship of the United Kingdom, who didn't allow the word ninja and nunchucks into Ninja Turtles in the original run. It's like somehow that's kind of bled over to this show, and I don't know what they're thinking. I sure as hell am not going to try it. I hope it bombs miserably. I just so they'll know, do not tamper with what's worked before.
I'm kind of curious how those toys are gonna look when they come out because the latest Turtle show, like the paint applications on some of those figures just weren't that good at all.
Cheap. They went cheap with it, so. Yeah, I hope it fails. I mean, I really do. I don't want it to succeed because, it's stuff like that. Because if that does all right, then they're going to think it's okay to continue to take more and more crazy liberties with the property. Transformers has gone through it, and Hasbro continues to keep recycling over and over again.
Maybe it's a thing too, because I'm seeing some stuff in the chat here as well. You know, maybe the cheaper animation is cheaper to do budget wise. You know, they're saying, you know, it's going to be geared more towards kids. I'm like, well, that should be your primary demographic anyway. Is it just that the attention span of kids is getting shorter now with phones and everything? They feel like it's got to be like, here's flashes of light and shit, and look at this over here. Look at that. Like,
Which is probably the case, but it also feels like it's been really dumbed down. Like it just looks like it's meant for 3-year-olds. The animation style, it doesn't look like something like when we're introduced to the original series, the opening sequence looks serious. Like you see the turtle standing on the city of New York with shadows on them. They're flinging their weapons and destroying foot soldiers and stuff. It lo doesn't look silly or goofy, and the theme song made you want to jump up and start kicking some ass. And this looks like it's meant for Like you said, children with not much of an attention span, and it's just going to be silly. And John Cena's playing one of the voices of one of the villains. Like, oh God, that's just,
Speaking of John Cena voicing things, and I know we're getting like way off track from
yes.
Batman here, but we watched Ferdinand last night,
Yeah.
and man, just what an uninspired movie. Like, that just seemed like complete total cash grab. Like, it had moments in it where you chuckle because these movies do have that. But we also red boxed Pixar's Coco. And going from watching Ferdinand to watching Coco was just night and day between the quality. I'm like, holy shit, like, here's a story that they're just like flung it on the wall and they're like, ah, give me my money. And then like this one here is just like, here's all the care about just the Mexican culture and Day of the Dead and all this stuff. And it was just wow, total difference. And the whole time when he's talking, I'm just like, it's John Cena, it's John Cena. Like, I at least when other people voice characters in movies, even if I know who it is, I'm not sitting there thinking of who it is the whole time. With him, I'm just like, yeah, that's John Cena.
Yeah, because
Just
I'm
waiting
sure
for
he's
him to
not.
say hustle, loyalty, and respect. I don't know.
Well, they're not going to ask him to do much other than just be John Cena. We want you to be John Cena as a bull,
I mean,
so.
I'm happy for him. The dude deserves to have a career. Let him go the path of The Rock and make a lot of money and get out of wrestling. That's fine.
Yeah, but we're being subjected to being advertised to with a look at all these crummy ass movies he's coming out with all these like all the doo-doo jokes where he's using a I don't know I saw he was in some kind of movie where he's like a playing a father who doesn't want his daughter having sex on a prom night or some nonsense like
Oh
that.
yeah,
Like,
it's that cock blockers movie or whatever. Yeah.
whatever the
He
hell it is.
chokes beer in his ass.
That's what we need to see, and I was telling Nathan, the Rock is I don't think we'll ever be taken seriously as, I mean, even though people will associate him as a movie star, I won't say he's legitimate at all until he stops playing in these crummy ass movies where he's not trying to work in some sort of joke. It's not funny. Your joke wasn't funny. You weren't funny on wrestling either. So unless you got a good work.
Hey now, he was funny sometimes. I mean, I got tired of his shtick in wrestling too, but there were times that he was funny. You
Very
take
rare
that
time.
back.
No, I'm not taking it back because I was not a, I did like The Rock at one point, but I just his promo was like, man, that's what kind of, turned me off. I'm like, oh man, another one of these goofy ass promos. Rhodey Poo candy. What the hell does that mean?
I mean, yeah, that got repetitive. But I mean, most of the stuff during that time did.
He's got a good voice for cutting promos, but he says the dumbest stuff. But anyway, I still feel like, to be like a legitimate, hey, I'll go see Dwayne Johnson's new movie. If he stops being silly in movies and actually plays, I know he almost it almost felt like he really wanted to be the next Arnold Schwarzenegger, being in action movies and being taken seriously as like the next big action hero. But look at the movies he's done. It's you can't really say that because it's a joke fest in a lot of his movies, or they're just trash.
Jumanji was fine. It was harmless. It was fine. It was better than I thought it was gonna be.
Well, I mean, there are worse things out there. But I, him being cast as a Black Adam in the Captain Marvel movie, Shazam, I'm curious because he looks the part. I just hope to God they don't have him being a silly villain.
They probably will. I mean, DC's track record with films at this point's pretty bad.
It is, and I won't go see another DC film until they've cleaned the slate completely. And we're going to redo Batman, we're going to redo Superman, start from scratch, because there's a there God knows there's tons of great stories to tell.
So that'll be what Superman's fourth, right?
Third, because we had Superman
Oh
Returns, which,
yeah, well he'll be the fourth theatrical
well,
Superman.
I mean, in terms of like a theatrical Superman, it would be the fourth. Yeah, the fourth Superman.
But it
But
would be the third rebooting of the character.
yeah, but
Well,
look how many
yeah.
we've got.
God.
We've gotten Keaton, Kilmer, Clooney, Bale, Affleck. There's
Ben
always room.
Affleck's not a terrible Batman. I know you're probably gonna like reach through the screen and try to strangle me, but
That's the only thing I ever heard anybody say positive about the film was that they felt that Batman was a decent Batman, but apparently nobody had problems with Batman killing, but they love to point out, and then Keaton's Batman. Oh, Batman doesn't kill, and Keaton's Batman killed, so I'm not okay with that. Like,
What?
where? Yes, I used to hear bitching about that all the time. You know, when I started to realize that, wait, okay, people don't like the 89 film as much as I do. You know, it's, I'm okay, you people can go to hell.
Well, I think people are just bitching about it because it's like it took liberties with the character origins. Like, oh, Joker's the one that killed his parents, blah, blah,
But I mean, I understand it. And when I realized that, and as I got older, I'm like, okay, that's not true. You know, and that Vicki Vale is a redhead, which is why they cast Sean Young. But I'm glad Sean Young was thrown out of the film and we got, you know, Kim Basinger. But I can forgive it because it doesn't really feel like it takes away from the film, and it's still, you've got great acting regardless. You know, it's, you know, I think it's one of those things that, you know, yes, I can admit that's not true. It probably shouldn't have gone that way. But you know, given the quality of the film, I can forgive that. I'm not blind to it, so I think I'd be a little silly and foolish to say, "Oh no, it's great, it's perfect." You know, it's I no, it's not correct, but you know.
I guess it kind of makes us look like, or makes me look like a dick for asking about the whole April being black in the new Turtles when, you know, Billy Dee Williams was Harvey Dent in the first Batman movie. I wonder, people were kind of up in arms about that a little bit, right?
I don't recall anything. The only, and like I said, we were kids when that movie came out, so I didn't get notice of like Michael Keaton being cast. It was a lightning rod of anger and negativity. All I saw was this is Batman. This is my first, other than Beetlejuice, that was my first time of seeing Keaton. So with Billy Dee, I'm like, I never heard any kind of, you know, negative stories in going back and researching. It really just felt like he was cast because he's Billy Dee Williams. He's a great actor with the idea that he would play Two-Face. And I think from what I had read from a source that seemed pretty legitimate, that him being Two-Face would be set up in Batman Returns with Michelle Pfeiffer. You know how she kills Matt Schreck by electrocuting him?
Yeah.
That would get Two-Face.
Okay.
I thought that if they had gone that route, I don't know how legitimate that was, but it sounded like, you know what? Even if that was some fanboy's creative idea and throw another, it's not a bad idea.
No, yeah, it's not. And I guess too, like, I imagine their thought process behind it wasn't like, oh, let's get some publicity, like they do these days.
Well,
Their
plus,
intentions were probably completely different back then.
well, it was because you just don't hear people complaining so much about it. And if they were, it wasn't a big thing. Whereas everything today is under a microscope, and it really feels like that's the popular thing. It's why we've got to constantly swap ethnicities with characters that are so beloved. I'm like, okay, well, if you're going to do it, they tend to do it in like an extended or alternate universe, you know, so that way it doesn't really conflict with a black Spider-Man and a black Batman and a Asian Captain America, whatever the case may be. You know, today they're clearly doing it to pander, whereas back then they were just casting the right man for the job.
Yeah, they're just trying to stir the pot. It's like piss these people off, make these but bring eyes to the property. JSP is talking about how there was a backlash with Keaton being cast. Everyone's like, Mr. Mom's going to be Batman.
Yeah, that's a lot of people thought that, and I could understand that considering that's all Keaton had done. But by God, when you saw that first trailer, man, who could argue that? Oh my God, this is going to be awesome, and it still is.
Well, I mean, Heath Ledger got the same thing when he was cast. Everyone's like, oh, the gay cowboy's going to play the Joker. He proved it
I
right.
just by that shot, that close up of him with just like all you saw was like his face and his scarred red lips. I'm like, this looks cheap as hell. But they hadn't shown us the rest of it with the green hair and the purple outfit, which obviously looked a hell of a lot better than that goofy. But then it goes to show too that, you know, the Punisher with Thomas Jane, the first promotional shot they showed was him with blonde hair, looking kind of schlubby with, you know, a trench coat and just a generic Punisher shirt. I'm like, this looks goofy and lazy as hell. This is what the Punisher's gonna be like? You know, and of course we loved it when it first came out. Now the movie's abysmal. I'll never watch it again.
These are
But
Cuban Howard.
yeah, movie sucks. But it's
It's like, yeah, let's make John Travolta the villain. But anyway, Batman
all
the
right.
Animated Series, I would say probably just, you said Batman 89 is sort of you know, when you take Nicholson, it's sort of like definitive. For me, I would say that the animated series is the definitive Batman.
Yeah, and I wouldn't argue against that. Anybody that says that, no, I would not. I would not hesitate to argue that, because it's given us a definite Joker, Two-Face, Poison Ivy, Mr. Freeze, Mad Hatter, Catwoman, Harley Quinn. I mean, it's the list goes on and on and on of characters that the show got right, with not just like the one episode, but multiple episodes where the Joker comes back, or Two-Face, or Poison Ivy, or you know, Mr. Freeze reimagining the character altogether. Now everybody loves Mr. Freeze because of what was done in the show. Harley Quinn is a juggernaut amongst fanboys and fangirls, because it ain't Suicide Squad, people. This, in this episode, this is what we're talking about when we think Harley Quinn is the juggernaut that she is. The lovable, you know, conniving and, you know, just, but tender-hearted, you know, love interest, the Joker, not someone who's shopped at Hot Topic all her life.
Yeah.
You know,
more poor decisions made God. By Warner Brothers.
God, man, DC right here, buddy.
I mean, they deserve it. It's like we've said it before, and you got all this material between the books and what they've done with all these animated shows. Just rip it from that. Just verbatim if you have to. I don't give a shit. Just stop putting out terrible movies. Stop spending so much money on them. They look like fucking garbage. You should have just done like an animated Justice League movie and put it out theatrically. Fuck.
Yeah, like this. Like this behind us right here. It was because it came out Christmas Day. I don't think it was heavily advertised. It was last minute decision to put it in theaters. You know, that's what Mark Hamill said. The movie was supposed to go direct to video, and they said, you know what, we could do this theatrically. And they put it out last minute. It bombs. There's a toy line. Goes ignored, you know, and obviously it's gained a following on home video over the years and really established as being a quintessential Batman film.
I think that also just got released on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I need to pick that up too. There's no special features on it, though.
Yeah. No, you want a good movie? Well, we're not putting anything else on there. Fuck you. Yes,
George Lucas, like, yeah, I'll give it to you on Blu-ray, but my special edition. Oh, you want the original cut? I'll make it as a supplement disc on DVD. And by the way, right here, fanboys. Yeah. Can't put a really bad version of Jabba the Hutt in the special edition on DVD. You go to hell. You go to hell and you die.
So much anger between the both of us.
Yeah, we got a lot of anger, you know, but we got a lot of reasons to be anger.
Yeah.
Or angry, excuse me.
But we also have a lot of reasons to be happy, because this show is fantastic, and we're going to journey through this show.
Yes.
This needs to be a regular thing.
Yes, yeah, so if people spread the word, if people in the chat room like what we do here, you know, let people know, and we'll share this and get people's interest, and I mean, hopefully people like what we have to say, because I know people have discussed this stuff on various podcasts, but I think it's fun to do commentaries, and they've done it on the DVD sets with the writers and stuff like that too. But you know, hopefully from a fan's perspective, you guys can have it just as much fun as we are.
Yeah. Well, do you think we should go ahead and get this episode going?
Let's do it. I'm going to watch it on DVD.
Yeah, I got mine up here on Amazon Prime. I put a link in the description. If you guys that are joining us now and anyone that watches after this, there's a link to Daily Motion. And I know that there's some variations between the beginning. Like if you watch it on DVD, I think it has like a little bit, like the Warner Brothers logo might be different than what it is on Amazon Prime. So we might have just a little bit of difference between the two.
That's fine.
But, we'll make it work. So you got everything ready on your end, right?
Yep. I'll just count down from three. When I say play, we'll all hit play together.
All righty.
3, 2, 1, play. And I got Bugs Bunny.
Yep.
Okay. And I love this logo with Warner Brothers phase right into the blimp.
This is like one of the best intros out of any like animated show ever.
And what's so cool about this is that this show doesn't give the title. Like, it lets the action and the visuals tell you what the hell you're watching. Doesn't rely on a title card or anything like that, or a catchy song. It's just music and atmosphere and no words. It just tells a simple story. And by God.
And that amazing score, too.
Yeah, Danny Elfman's score, and Shirley Walker, who did a lot of the show as well, too, man. They to make a cartoon for kids this epic with the music and the tone and the backgrounds, the beautiful artwork. God, man, it's clearly the people at Warner Brothers just like cartoons. That's for kids, man. Where's
And then
adults?
here's the big reveal. It's like, oh yeah, see what he looks like right there. And I always thought the title cards were always
They were
really
interesting.
cool.
Like this right here, you wouldn't know what to, like if I saw this as a kid, I'm like, trial. What does that mean? Who's in this? So, because a lot of times the title cards at least kind of give you an idea of who's going to be in that episode. And of course, it starts out pretty quickly. Like, well, okay, well, Poison Ivy's in this, and this is just a fun, segment of just showing the kind of messed up legal system that goes on in Gotham here. That the crime is just—it's a constant cycle. All these people are considered insane, so they go to the asylum and easily break out every so often, as opposed to going to jail and
Yeah.
serving.
It's like, oh, well, because Batman did this.
Yeah, which is it's fun. It's realistic in a sense. Like at least with the story they're trying to tell, it doesn't sound overly outlandish or silly. And it's just fun because it doesn't take long for things to really start taking off here as soon
Well,
as.
I mean, 22 minutes. Gotta
Yeah.
cram it in there.
And especially with so many characters that we don't have time to, set up a whole lot of expeditions. Like, no, we're just going to take off here. And I always like seeing these moments in the episodes because obviously Harley and Poison and Poison Ivy would have such a budding friendship throughout the show and into the other series.
And it's like,
But
oh, here's the Mad Hatter. It's like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
badass. I really grew to like the Mad Hatter a lot because of this show and Roddy McDowell's portrayal of him.
And I mean, this is just a cool concept for an episode. It's like, here's this attorney that's like, I can't do anything because of Batman, and Batman's the reason that all of these villains are here to begin with. We need to do something about Batman.
And it's one of those, I mean, you see this kind of idea pop up in comic books a lot where, the law questions allowing superheroes to operate, whether it's in the Marvel Universe or the DC Universe, and she makes valid points,
Yeah.
and it wraps up very well that she agrees that the world needs Batman, but
I
they want
always
to.
think it's cool that Commissioner Gordon's always just by his side most of the time.
Yeah, that he clearly it's,
Batman's like, oh, hey, look, I got you another one.
Yeah. I
Put
just
on a
that
uniform, and he's like, well, see ya.
And what's fun too is he can be going on a date with her later that evening.
Of course. Bruce Wayne's always dating everybody.
And I like Bruce Wayne's portrayal in this show too. I mean, it's and of course with it being an animated show, you've got multiple times to really establish the personalities. Like we get to see him as I mean, he's obviously been out with tons of women on this show. He's a businessman. He's, right now he comes off as a very carefree playboy just going out with
Yeah.
this district attorney. And
He's like, oh, hey, what do you think about the Batman? Oh, I think he's pretty cool. She's
yeah,
like,
just.
no, he's terrible. Let me tell you why.
I love this waiter here. It's Mark Hamill talking. It was just like, oh man, it's Mark Hamill. And it just the concept behind this whole episode to I mean it's
I like that part. He's like, take your time, and then he like stares at her ass. Like that goes
yeah
over all the kids' heads. I'm sure the adults watching it is like, oh yeah.
I mean that see it's moments like that that the great writers on the show just threw in because it's clearly just a shot of her walking away but if you realize what the body language and things he's doing yeah he's watching her ass.
He's like, oh, here we go. And then Commissioner Gordon's like, hey, we found this. And he's like, oh, wait.
And it's just fun too that I'm sure some people say, well, why would the inmates of are just deliberately trick Batman to come where they're at if they can clearly get out? Like you're missing the point. They're doing this. It's almost like they're having fun, but it's an interesting way of them all probably thinking amongst themselves. We are who we are because of Batman, and then we have this district attorney that's saying we don't need that the world doesn't need Batman, so let's have some fun with it.
Yeah, I mean, plus it's also a thing of, well, we have her, so we can bring him here. Two birds, one stone, maybe we can kill them both.
And in only a way that they could. And for them to sit there and say that we find the defendant Batman not guilty. When
Yeah.
I saw that, I'm like, oh my God, really? But of course, they're not. You know, he may it, we, it may be our fault we are who we are, but we're still going to kill him anyway. You know, which is in true villain fashion. We do not
Yeah.
want our villains redeemable here, people. You know, these guys, they may have lived normal lives before, but once they've crossed that line, there's no going back, and that's the way villains ought to be. I blame that as another product of today's society where we got to feel sorry for our villains. Dr. Octopus and Green Goblin got to be redeemable by the end of the movie. You know, here we are. Remember when we met Richard Mole and he did the Two-Face voice for
Yeah,
us?
that was probably the only cool part about meeting him, honestly.
Yeah, it was. Oh, man. And it took nothing to get him to do the voice. Just all he had to say was, "Liked your work as bad at Two-Face," and he just went right into the voice talking to us. And I mean, look at it. You cannot get more badass than this. I mean, I've seen so many versions. This is definitive from anything I've seen in the comic books, from various green face, purple face, different outfits, the voice, the blue messed up face with the mouth, you know, spread open. Killer, I like the sound of Killer Croc's bare feet walking across the concrete floor. Just the little the extras of sounds that they throw in here, and
Yeah.
that straight jacket here. God, there's so many cool things. And they both admit, you know, he's like, look, we can't do nothing about this. It's their game. Go along with it for right now. Just seeing the Mad Hatter, Two-Face, and Killer Croc all together here in one scene working together. It's magic.
And it doesn't take much, you know, like.
And this is a story that, hell, they can make a movie out of this. Getting all these supervillains on the silver screen at the same time. Granted, everyone's not going to be able to steal the show. But
And there he was. He's like, yeah, you know, you guys win, you're free. If not, we're gonna kill you.
yeah. And it's one cool thing about Two-Face is that he does honor the flip of the coin. You
Yeah.
know, the Jones version where he just keeps flipping the coin until he gets what he wants. Like, that's not Two-Face. You know, Two-Face makes the decision solely on that coin, and that's it. If the coin says don't kill him, you can't kill him. And that's what was so good about this version of Two-Face. And of course, we got there's Scarecrow. Is the second version of Scarecrow.
Then Harley's like, I borrowed your belt.
Yeah, and that's a classic Harley moment, you know, and it doesn't feel like silly or like, you know, roll your eyes at. It's good. That's what the character would do. And Scarface and the Ventriloquist, which was a character I've always just kind of ignored for the most part. I've never liked, just don't hold him in the same regard as I do all the other villains in this episode.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely not the top tier, but you know, I never minded him that much.
No, but
I
when he
think
was
that origin episode with him is fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad, but you know, when you got the likes of Joker, Riddler, Two-Face, Mad Hatter, I mean, that lineup right there, those six right there, God, every time they were in the episode, it was fantastic. Hit him with a rock. Love that throwback.
Does the Riddler even say anything in this episode?
No, and that's the only thing that bothered me about it. Here
Here we go.
we judge in
Of
this one,
course.
pulls the mallet, guilty. And Mark Hamill's like, very well. Just, God, man, just knows he's having fun with it. Judge Joker. Nobody else could have done this. Like, the minute you know there's going to be a courtroom, it's like, you don't even have to see the Joker to know. I love Harvey's opening statement. And what's cool is that he's taking this serious. Like, this is not building up to killing Batman. It's, we're here to really decide who's responsible for our lives. So cool. See, I just get drawn in just watching it.
Yeah.
But it's. Oh, yeah, with Mad Hatter. And it's cool the continuity here of Mad Hatter talking about his first appearance of abducting. I can't remember what her name was, the blonde girl that he fell for that looked a lot like Alice. And Van Dorn's, you know, she's familiar with all of their, you know, backstories of in their history, and just how one by one these criminals just snap.
Batman forced me to do it.
Yeah. I had no choice. I had to kill her first. I mean, that's great.
When you think about it too, that's kind of dark for an animated show geared towards kids.
Yeah, but like, God, it's, but as a kid though, you just see it as like, well, that's probably what he would do. It's not until you hear a lot of these Reverend Love, the wives of Reverend Lovejoy come along saying someone think it's the children
And
and
of
saying,
course, in typical Batman fashion, he has left clues
yeah, well,
or a way out. This is funny too.
yeah. The Joker's facial expressions. What's so cool about this Joker and Harley Quinn is as lovable and likable as they are, both of them would kill you without hesitation. Like, you
Yes.
just know that about them. The squints of Batman. Thank you, Batman. He just squints. I just love that, the movement of the eyes. And yeah, it's a shame that Riddler didn't get to talk much because I always loved John Glover's portrayal as the Riddler, and the Riddler's in my top three villains.
Yeah. And she's sitting there like gushing on him. And then she's just like, oh, hey, you know that he threw you under the bus so he could try to get some more time off his sentence.
I know, it's like, this is so good. I
There
Yeah.
she is, just ready to like tear his head off.
This animation of him shaking. Of course, Croc's got to play the bailiff. Knock it off, lady. And Batman just stays so calm and collected during all this, watching all this chaos go on.
Yeah.
And th this is a fun kind of dynamite blow for Pamela Isley here, throwing, and I love the reference of going back to season one about trying to bump off Harvey Dent. Just, there's so many small little moments here that if you've been watching the show up to this point, you catch a lot of the things that they're talking about. Like Joker's reading a comic book right there. Not
It's
even paying attention.
like, hey, check out this flower.
And it just shows you that Van Dorn's a very smart character in this. Like, she's making a point to really test if is this woman really nuts? Like, she's really buying into the fact, all right, I really want to find out, is Batman responsible or are they? And it just snaps right there. And I like this moment with Scarface. Ha. Oh man, that's good. Yeah, and here we go. I like what she has to say here about all this. Like, even though she's been knocked on her ass. It's like all of you would have ended up here one way or another, Batman or not. I mean,
Yeah.
it's just very, it gives me goosebumps because of the subject of what she's talking about here.
And
That
then
you
she's like, you guys created him.
God, it's so cool. That's Paul Dini at his best, man. Who wrote him and Bruce Timm wrote this episode, man. Those guys were magic. Paul did wonderful work on He-Man, and he's done it here, on Batman, and he's responsible for recreating Two-Face. I think he created Harley Quinn, just to name a few of his credentials on this show. It's a cool shot. He's just anxiously awaiting the verdict. And had given more time, I would love to hear what the inmates had to say when they decided on not guilty. Or are they doing it just for fun, just to make it sound like, do they legitimately feel that way? Or are they saying, oh, you're not guilty, but we're going to kill you anyway? Just, that's a cool shot. That's something I would love to ask Paul or Bruce. Did they legitimately convict him or not convict him? Just to tamper with his, just playing around with him.
Yeah.
But,
He's
the joke.
like, yeah, it messed up our own rotten lives.
Yeah. We're gonna waste you anyway.
Everyone's like, yeah, that's what we want. Yay.
Yeah. just seeing all these guys, I mean, I always love so many moments, even in I forgot which episode. Joker's Wild, where Joker's hanging out in the with the rubber chicken there. That's classic. Just seeing these inmates interacting with each other, that they all have this common enemy. They're all working together here. It's just God. It's the epic, most epic team up. I mean, now if you want to talk like a cinematic Batman universe, building up to an episode or a movie like this, where all the major villains are showing up for this trial, God, this would be so cool to see on the silver screen with Billy Dee Williams as Two-Face, of course. In a perfect world, Billy Dee Williams would still be Two-Face, and Jack Nicholson would still be the Joker.
I really like this scene right here.
Yeah, Joker coming in as the priest, and later on where he's got the Tommy gun and in the dark firing the Tommy gun with the priest outfit, like Joker with the Tommy gun is him and Two-Face carrying Tommy guns. Man, that just it takes badass to another level. I mean, that because it just like because I always loved this show because of the use of Tommy guns in the show, because Dick Tracy had a big influence on me as a kid. So the Tommy gun looks so cool. So to see it used so much in this show, look at this. Harley's already forgotten about what Joker did to him. She's so smitten. And I love this buildup of how they're going to take off his mask and everybody's anxiously awaiting. And the looks on their faces just as Joker's grabbing the cowl.
Yeah, they're like, oh, finally.
God, this is so cool.
It's a good thing she got that on the first try,
Yeah, she did.
huh?
Yeah, all this going on in the dark. Batman's already gone. Who says I'm leaving?
Yeah.
See, God, man, why is it that these guys got Batman right, perfection, and yet all these morons in Hollywood just cannot seem to get it right?
I think one of my favorite parts of this episode coming up when you mentioned Joker having the Tommy gun, they're like, hey, you're gonna hit Croc, and he just doesn't care.
Doesn't care, yeah. Yeah, here we go. Oh, this is so cool.
What's your point?
Oh, man. That's what I want to see. I want to see more of Joker with his outfit with that top hat on and or his fedora, excuse me. Not in the priest outfit, but just the classic purple outfit, firing a Tommy gun at Batman. Oh, this is a cool animation. His
Yeah.
wife electrocuting him. Which probably would have killed anybody else in that room if Killer Croc hadn't taken that. I can't imagine any of the rest of the crew surviving that. And this is fun too because it's just not over yet. We get to see a little bit of the Scarecrow here, which I thought was cool because I always liked the Scarecrow.
Yeah.
And I like the redesign of him here too. I think overall between the three that he was given, this is probably my favorite, even though the third one was much more demonic and creepy, but I like this one a lot.
Scarface's head just bouncing down the.
And it's just cool seeing the different combinations of the Hatter and Poison and Scarecrow working a Two-Face leading a gang of thugs. Here they come up the stairs. I mean, just man, it's just endless, endless.
I'm kind of curious how he got his belt back. They
Well, he.
should have had like a little scene there.
Well, remember Harley was wearing the belt
Yeah.
in the room. So when he gets out of the
I
straitjacket.
guess when he gets her, he grabs his belt again, yeah.
I like how they use like real like gun sounds when like they're cocking their guns and everything. I mean, it just adds a little extra level of maturity to it. One last showdown with the Joker here, and Joker's laugh. Yeah, the big mallet. Oh man. God, I love this show. Yep, a show that did not shy away from punching or kicking people too and showing it too. It's like I'm really glad Fox just let these guys do what they wanted to do, make a show meant for children, but take the source material just as serious as possible within the realms of what's suitable for kids. And here we get this little nice little truce, so to speak.
You're just sitting there like, how does Bruce bring that up on their next dinner date?
Yeah.
And there's the sun coming up.
Everything's gonna be all right.
And that's it. Credits.
Yeah, credits, man.
You're just sitting there. It's like 22 minutes, and so many things happened. So
And
many
so many,
characters were involved.
yeah, and it was a triumph. But
JSP had a question for us while we're watching the show. He said, should the animated movie have been a story that featured the Rogues Gallery, and was it good as is?
what you mean? Does he mean Phantasm?
I'm not entirely sure. He didn't specify.
Well, I mean, the only animated movie that they had done, at least for this, was Phantasm. I mean, as a kid, I was attracted to the Joker because the Joker was my favorite as a kid. So seeing that he was in it based on the trailers, like that's I was sold on that. But that could have been a movie like that. Like Trio could have been like the theatrical, you know, like the show's gotten so popular, we're going to release it in theaters to do a, you know, less than an hour and a half to an hour and a half animated film with Batman being trapped in Arkham and having being put on trial and having to fight through. That would have made a great movie, but I think the Mask of the Phantasm, what works for it is that we're also given the origin story of Batman in it as well, at least how he becomes Batman, not the murder of his parents, but the path that he's on. Like he's think contemplating being a vigilante, but also dealing with the possible love interest that could change his whole life. And I buy that as a legitimate reason that he decides, you know, I'm going to go through with this. Like his constant turmoil of talking to his parents at their graves, like it doesn't hurt so much anymore. You know, I found happiness. I don't have to do this anymore. And
Yeah.
he turns him away and he gets mad. And that's when he puts on the cowl for the first time. And, you know, so I think Phantasm is perfect as is, but it would have been really interesting to see more of the villains. But given the story that that movie's trying to tell, I think just Joker was fine.
Yeah, JSP, he specified it. He meant to say or, not and. So he was asking, like, when they did an animated movie, if it would have worked better with having the Rogues Gallery in there, or if Phantasm, it probably would have worked at the time. Tyler and I saw it as kids. It probably would have worked better had there been more rogues. But I would say it works perfect how they did it.
Yeah, I mean, a movie would give you more time to really, you know, include. You could get away with having, you know, I mean, obviously multiple episodes like the Secret of Doctor Hugo, Secret of Bruce Wayne or Hugo. The Hugo Strange episode where Two-Face and Penguin and Joker show up to buy the rights to find out the secret identity of Batman. I mean, that was the first big team up I saw. So I almost felt like, yeah, a movie. Given three of the villains, or hell, I mean, hey, it worked for the 66 Batman movie where they got four of the major Batman villains teaming up together. Hell yeah, I would love to have seen that. And that probably, I mean, these guys paid such good, close attention and good care to the villains on the show to put four or five of them in one movie. Yeah, I think it would have worked. But you know what? Phantasm was so damn good. It's kind of hard to argue to get anything else, but yes. I would love to have seen that. More villains, especially the Riddler. To get more Riddler, you know, because he was not in a whole lot of episodes. Kind of hard to write for the Riddler, I suppose, because you got to come up with all these riddles and stuff like that to incorporate into the story.
Yeah. And Tyler's not much of a gamer these days, but I would say that first Batman Arkham Asylum game was phenomenal, with fighting all of the Rogues Gallery, and with Riddler, his main thing in the game is you're going around and finding hidden things and following all these clues to grab other stuff. So that was really well done. But I would agree that there does need to be a little more Riddler out there.
Yeah, I really disagreed. I liked him a lot as a kid, from the 60s show with Frank Gorshin. I liked him on this, and I loved him a lot. And when Jim Carrey played him, and I just always thought that it was, as I got older, I'm like, I really appreciate the villains that are more focused on being smarter than the hero, you know. And that's what Riddler's big thing is. Like, he really knows he's, or believes he's smarter than Batman, and that's what he relies on. Like, I like that. Like, it's a fun, different take. Like, obviously Batman can kick his ass, but it's not about that. It's just about, like, I can outsmart, because Batman is the world's greatest detective. That's just what's so much fun about the Riddler, you know, a guy that's just constantly trying to outsmart him. I love it. And John Glover, I can't wait till we talk about the Riddler on the show, because I love John Glover's take as the Riddler. Probably could be said the best version of the Riddler that I've seen. I mean, above Frank Gorshin's, even though his was insanity, but awesome insanity. And Jim Carrey's was fun too, but the animated series one was pretty damn good, man. It really, really was. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, this is definitely going to have to be a thing that we're going to have to do this. We're going to have to do commentaries for episodes and things. Yeah. I think this would be like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, any of you guys leave a comment on the video, like go to the Facebook page and leave a comment. Should we make it a thing where it falls in line with the Beyond Retro, how we're numbering them here? Should it be its own separate thing? Because to me, I'm sitting there thinking, like, sort of subside it and sort of give it a different name to sort of incorporate us. I don't know. Because we're bouncing around between Batman and Spider-Man, Justice League, etc. I don't know. We got
a lot of potential, a lot of fun to be had, and just focusing on why people, like fans like us, enjoy this show, why we buy it on DVD or purchase it on Blu-ray if it ever comes out, or why we're constantly.
No, hey, Batman the Animated Series is actually getting a Blu-ray release this year.
Oh man.
Yeah. For me, I'm like, it's on Amazon Prime Video right now, so I can just stream it whenever I want. I don't have to pop the DVDs in, but I
have to buy it on Blu-ray. I have to. Hell, I was just thinking about that yesterday. Like, God, this show needs to be on Blu-ray because the colors are so vibrant. So to not have it on Blu-ray, it's a shame, but oh my God.
Yeah, SSJ Mitz is like, you should probably make it its own episode series. So, I mean, maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll come up with a name. It's like, here's episode one of this, doing a commentary. I don't know. We got a lot of stuff to figure out with it, but I am very excited at the prospect of this, because this was a lot of fun, and there's no way we can cram in everything we love about this show in an hour and a half and just be done with it. You know?
No, that's why we would have to do like a Joker episode, because this is why. One of many reasons, like Joker's Wild or Joker's Favor. I mean, those are two episodes I can't wait to sit down and talk about. Or Be a Clown or Harley Quinn Aid, you know, where Batman works with Harley Quinn to capture the Joker. I mean, God, there's just so many great Joker episodes, Two-Face episodes. And that's what a commentary is going to have to be done. It's like that's when we really get to focus on why Two-Face is such a badass, or almost got him. We're all in playing poker talking about how much they almost got Batman, you know, just... God, there's so much potential, so much fun to be had, dude.
Yeah, and this is only the beginning.
Yeah, it is.
Do you think probably about the end of the show, we should probably go ahead and wrap it up, right?
Yeah, I guess so, because I think this was a good start for commentating, and you know, a good full on retro episode. I think we've at least done it for at least an hour. I'm not keeping track of time, but I don't do that when I'm having fun.
Yeah,
but. It's probably a good time to at least wrap it up and not overstay our welcome, but at least leave people wanting more. If you enjoyed the podcast, you know, leave feedback. Damn it. We crave feedback. We'd like to know that people like what we're doing, you know? So we just want to know that, you know, we're doing something right by people, that we're trying to do something a little bit different for people. You know, God knows there's plenty of podcasts out there that talk about Batman and Spider-Man and superheroes and movies and comics and whatever. And, like to think that we can win your time, that we are worthy of you taking time on YouTube or on your iPod or iPhone or whatever the case, and listening to us at work or on your way from home or whatever the case, that we are that we can get your attention, you know, for an hour, hour and a half of your time.
Yeah, and I want to say thanks to everyone that was in the chat and joined us. I always appreciate you guys showing up like week after week. We do the show on a Saturday where you're here, you know. We do one today on a holiday. You guys are here, so we greatly appreciate your time.
Absolutely. It means a lot. We want to thank every one of you that, made it a point of your day to sit down with us and watch trial with us, or at least listen to us talk about it if you didn't watch it. So,
Yeah, it's really cool to sit and think about sometimes. I'll just be like, man, you know, there's actually a handful of people that just listen to our bullshit every week.
yeah, but sometimes that's what fans like us like to do. We like to sit around and bullshit about why this is cool, why that character could beat that character. It's just fun. It's fun theorizing this kind of stuff. You know, it's legions of people all over the world who enjoy this stuff. So, and there's a lot to be said because God knows I've listened to people talking about, like, you guys are missing so much stuff. Why aren't you talking about this? And why aren't you talking about that? They're just kind of glossing over it, you know, and you're made to think it's going to be, oh, great, good fan input on this episode or movie. No, they have, you know, I can do a podcast. I'm like, well, that's fine, but bring some meat to the table. You know, don't just, you know, put all this nice chinaware, but put no food on the plate, you know?
Paper plates, man. Paper plates. Fine
Yeah,
dining.
that's all I use. I don't pull out any fine china. I don't have any fine china. I am the fine china.
Yeah, Tyler, give us feedback. You know, comment on the videos. You know, like it, share it, subscribe it. Subscribe to the channel. All you guys in the chat probably already have, but any of you guys catching this on a whim on YouTube, just falling down that rabbit hole. If you like what you see, subscribe to us. Give us a like, share the video. Check out the links that I'll put down below. We got a Facebook page. Leave comments there if you don't want to comment on the video, you know. When the pod link gets put up, and you guys want to listen to us on the road, listen to the voices instead of watching us, give that a download, you know. But feedback, like Tyler said, we'd love to hear feedback. If you guys have an episode of Batman you would really like us to take a look at and break down, you know, leave it in the comments. Let us know.
Yeah, because we're doing it, and I mean, we have fun doing this, but you know, we do it for people to enjoy. You know, we hold ourselves in the same level as any other fanboy and fangirl. So we're doing this providing you guys entertainment to pique your interest. Like, okay, now I want to go pull out my DVD set of Batman Season 2 and watch Almost Got Him because they talked about it, or just start watching the series because they talked about it. That's what we want to do. You know, I think a podcast has done its job if you listen to the content and it makes you want to go home and watch a movie that they talked about or a cartoon they talked about because it got you excited about the show or what they had to say about it. That's what I want us to. If people pull anything away from this podcast, that's what I want it to be. That we excite and ignite this passion for someone to go home and devote 30 minutes to an hour of watching something that you and I and Joe just felt the need to just discuss, you know?
Yeah, and we'll get Joe in on this as well. Jake
Yeah.
Juggalo says, how about doing an episode of Inhumanoids?
Of course, I used to have two DVD sets of Inhumanoids, and I don't know what happened to them. I think they probably got lost in translation or something. But
He gave them
you know,
away that he doesn't like Inhumanoids.
that's probably what happened. No, but I do like Inhumanoids, but it's just one of those things when I was probably when I was cleaning out DVDs, like, okay, I don't watch that much anymore. I made that mistake with a few things,
Eh,
but
it happens.
it happens. But
Well, Tyler, you got any other closing thoughts?
not at the moment. Just I really look forward, like I said, we want to do Batman, want to do Spider-Man, want to do Justice League, want to do Batman the 60s show, want to do Turtles. God, yeah, we do commentaries for Turtles. We do commentary for I mean, there's a bunch of stuff we can do commentaries for. Just, I mean, or and especially, or even just superhero related, just keep with it, like Batman, Spider-Man, or Batman, Justice League, and things like that, and all the various Spider-Man shows as well. But got high hopes and look forward to doing it again.
Yeah, I'm really, this is going to be a lot of fun. Now we just got to come up with a name for it or something. I don't know. We'll get that figured out.
Figure that out, and then next week will be our WrestleMania special.
Oh
If
yeah. Next Sunday is WrestleMania Sunday, so it's going to be a lot of wrestling discussion, a lot of breaking down kind of like our favorite WrestleManias. I'm sure I'm going to go on a rant about how terrible the product is now.
And we'll really be focusing on too on our favorite WrestleManias, moments we enjoyed as a kid. And I told Joe, I'm going to tell Nathan this too. I'll have you guys come up with your definitive booking of WrestleMania. Like, pick an era that you would like to book, at least 6 dream matches of the roster that was currently available within the Attitude era, or like the late 80s, early 90s, or the mid 90s, or the late 2000s. Book a WrestleMania. What would be?
All right, so I'll get with you on more of the specifics on the guidelines to it, because you're saying like pick an era, and then am I just going by the current roster at the time, or
the people that were available? Like, for me, I'm going to put together WrestleMania from like the roster that was available from like the late 80s into the early 90s, and that's what I'm going to go with. That's the era of wrestling I want to put a WrestleMania together with.
Okay. You know,
so I think a rebook WrestleMania 17 based on who was on that WrestleMania, but just
I mean, really, the only thing I would have changed is how it ended, because that was garbage. Oh,
I can't wait to bring that up next week. Because
JSP says there's 5,000 tickets still available for Mania. That doesn't surprise me, because they haven't really created new stars.
No, because it's still about oh look, John Cena, Wrestling Undertaker. Well, Wrestling Undertaker doesn't mean a damn thing anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And they should have. I'll leave it for Sunday. I'll leave it for next Sunday.
It'll be fun to get Nathan going about wrestling, because it's legendary. You get him pissed off about wrestling.
It'll be like my first real shot of just talking strictly wrestling on the show, because you guys did it a few episodes ago and I missed out because I was at my old shitty job.
Yeah, the shit show.
Yeah, yep, the shit show. But yeah, WrestleMania next Sunday. Tyler, this was a lot of fun. Pleasure doing commentary with you on this.
You too, bud. And thanks to everybody for listening. And we will see you guys next Sunday for WrestleMania.
WrestleMania!